Good morning and welcome to Viewpoint, a weekly public service program heard each Sunday morning on WHMI. I'm your host, John King. We're talking today with Nicole Matthews-Creech, who's the director of the Livingston County Diversity Council, along with Jennifer Tate, who is a board member on the Diversity Council, also director of Livingston County's Department of Health and Human Services. Full disclosure, I myself am also a board member on the Livingston County Diversity Council. The issue this week, of course, in the headlines, the case of Tatiana Vanderlaan, who had made a Facebook post talking about her experiences at Heartland High School, an 18-year-old black girl who said that she had experienced persistent, ongoing racial intimidation and harassment, you know, verbal abuse, including the N-word, said in one instance she'd been ridiculed about her hair and her appearance, and a teacher had heard it all and said nothing and said she just did not feel safe in the school. And in fact, the day that these revelations came to light, she says that she was threatened to be lynched and had to be escorted off the school property. And the Livingston County Sheriff's Office, we should note, is now opened up an investigation into intimidation and are currently investigating that. Also, on Friday, the director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights, James White, issued a statement in response to these revelations, saying he was very troubled by the reports of what the student had been facing for months. He applauded her for her bravery and said their primary concern is for her safety and well-being and that the harassment be brought to an immediate end. He said the department had been in contact with the district to evaluate their policies and to offer training help as well to Ms. Vanderlaan and her family, also to determine if there were violations of the Elliott Larson Civil Rights Act. So that has been the catalyst for our conversation today, but we're looking at it from a much broader perspective, and that is that this is not the first incident that has occurred in Livingston County schools this year in which students have been made to feel unsafe, unwelcome, and this has created a sort of an effort, maybe some momentum, hopefully, that we can see some change. So after that long introduction, Nicole and Jennifer, there was a meeting on Friday with all of the different districts, and you were part of that. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as the president of the Livingston Diversity Council, a lot of our focus is on race equity in the community, and we as Livingston County, not unlike any other community, is challenged by issues of racism, hatred, discrimination, oppression. And so we're always looking for ways that we can support our community. Earlier this year, actually, in response to some of the stories and experiences that have been shared with us via students and their families, in our Livingston County districts, we felt that it was important to start looking at a community-wide effort to bring our schools together to see how we can address this at multiple levels. Certainly one individually when students experience these things in school, interpersonally, how we handle those conflicts within and among students and how we support our teachers as they're witnessing these things. And institutionally, what supports they're in place at the school level to address these issues as they come up, and ideally to prevent these issues, looking at curriculum development and professional development for teaching staff and things like that. And so this meeting this morning was a gathering of our district professionals. We have representation from all five of our school districts on this committee, as well as some of our charter schools, ranging from the superintendent's office down to through building administration, teaching staff, counseling staff, support staff, as well as some parents from the community. And so the goal of these meetings is to figure out, really right now, to determine a baseline of where are we prepared in Livingston County currently to handle these issues. What things do we have in place and where are the gaps that maybe make it difficult for us to address these issues as they come up. We know that you can't ever be fully prepared when incidents like this happen, but if you have the right policies in place, if you have the right support for your teaching staff in place, they are much easier and able to support their students.
I mean, isn't the goal essentially to, I mean, obviously, to prevent these from happening in the first place as opposed to having to react to them afterward?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The goal is always prevention. And, but of course, you have to have a multi-layered approach because while you're working on those prevention strategies, intervention has to happen when they do occur, right? Yeah, so you have to be looking at those kind of multi-tiers at that same kind of concurrent planning, right?
When you had this meeting on Friday, how was that approached in terms of what progress has been made and what is acceptable?
Right. And we are in the beginning phases. I will say that a good portion of today's meeting was focused on discussing how Tatiana's and really other students' experiences shaped why our committee got put together, and to talk about how the students and teaching staff are handling this week. Because when we, you know, when we look at policies and curriculum, it's easy to get away from the human experience, and so it's important to be mindful of why we're doing the things that we're doing. So a good portion of today's meeting, one, was focused on what her experience and other students' experience has been, as well as how this has impacted all of the other students in the other districts. Because, as you know, as was said, it's not an isolated incident, and other students in other districts who have had similar experiences are probably experiencing some secondary traumatization to what has been happening. And so it's important for our schools to be very well aware of all of that happening while they're trying to deal with their policies. At this stage, the committee is looking at creating a baseline, a foundation to determining what programs and thing and policies and procedures already exist in our schools. We know that some of our schools have some things in place, and we know that that's not consistent across the board. We also know that there are gaps, and that's why it's so challenging to address these issues when they do come up, because policies aren't there to go back to figure out what it is that we're supposed to do. So the group is currently designing a survey to reach out to our schools to see what is in place, and not just from an individual perspective. We know that the other piece is that sometimes some folks in a district or an organization in general are aware of those policies, procedures, and programming, and others may not necessarily be aware of that. So there can be a breakdown in the consistent delivery of those procedures. So the survey is going to be going out to all of our districts and really all of the employees within the districts to get all of that information. Once we have the baseline foundation, we can look at where the gaps are and develop resources that perhaps are already in place in some districts and sharing those resources, and then developing community-wide, county-wide resources that we can all share in and work on this as a collective, as a collaborative effort, instead of each district trying to do their own work and trying to defend their own situations.
So how much of this, and Jennifer, please feel free to come in anytime you want with your perspectives on this. How much of the issues that are involved here really have to do with a lack of acknowledgement that there are racist attitudes that are held by people in this county? Whenever this is sort of brought forward, there's always a lot of pushback. And that's, again, not to say that obviously everybody in Livingston County is racist, but this is an ongoing issue that has been persistent, and it has not gone away. And in fact, my perception, and you tell me, I think it's actually gotten somewhat worse in the last couple of years.
I would have to say that I agree with you 100% there, because one thing that we all are in agreement with is that historically this has been an issue. When I say this, speaking of racism, we know that racism is real. However, it's not talked about. It's generally the elephant in the room. But what we have tried to do as a council or as a board is to make sure that we're being proactive and preventative, that we're looking at ways to combat these issues. And one of the ways that we talked about having the ability to be able to do this is to provide some early education. And that's kind of why we targeted the schools, because we know it's a generational problem. And we thought that if we can begin in the schools and do some early education, make people aware of different cultures and other issues, that we would see a difference or be able to see a change. But one thing for me that this issue has taught us is that although we know racism is real, that we have identified a larger issue, and that we need to ensure not only the community is educated regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion, but that teachers and administrators are trained on how to respond to incidents when these occur in their districts. Because another thing that we all agree on is that children should all have the ability to remain in school in a safe environment and receive the education that they deserve. And in the event that you are afraid to come to school because of the color of your skin, what you look like, or feeling as though you don't have adults that are around you to protect you, can be a serious issue for kids. And it really resonated with me, because I have to give some grace to Tatiana in saying that she was a brave young lady to even be able to speak up about this, to talk about how she was verbally tormented, and put it out there. She's reaching out for help. And although we don't talk about it often, about the things that are occurring within the community, I've been in Livingston County since 2016. Being a minority myself, I've experienced several situations where I was not treated fairly or respectfully. And what that has done for me is, one, given me the need to get out in the community, educate people on the importance of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that all children should be treated the same, not just children, but I look at children as people or young adults who don't have the ability to advocate for themselves. So as adults, it's our job to step up and do those things, because we know that it is a generational issue. Racism is learned. Children don't come out of the womb and they're automatically racist. That's something that's taught. We are in a position, we have several leaders that are on our diversity board, members of the council, that are in position to put policies in place and ensure that kids are safe and that they don't have to worry about the way they walk, the way they talk, the color of their skin or their hair in order to be accepted, because we want to teach the kids within our community to respect people for who they are, not for what they look like. And that's how my parents raised me. I grew up in a biracial household. My mom is Caucasian. My dad is African-American. And so I think that put me in a position to be able to understand from either side of the track in regards to what's going on in our community. And it made me a better person. And as I look at and read Tatiana's story, it reminded me of me 20-plus years ago. This is her. So, you know, it brought back so many feelings. And the only thing that I really could think of, it was so heart-wrenching, because I said, how dare a child have to go through this and try to defend her own honor for her race or just the way she looks, the clothes that she has decided to wear. The thing that stood out most to me was her feeling that she needed to present herself in a specific manner for her senior exit presentation. And the reason why that stood out to me so much is because I was on the Flint Board of Education from 2007 to 2012. And I sat through senior exit presentations every year. I made it a point to be in there because I wanted to support our kids. I wanted them to be able to be productive in our community and know that people are here to support them. And for her to go in there feeling like she was ready and able to present, and for her to receive some of the remarks, I felt her pain that reading. And my hope is just that we're going to continue to work together to be able to ensure that Livingston County does become a diverse county. It's definitely, we've got some leaders on board. Everybody is trying to be proactive. And this is just a step to me to let us know that we're doing the right thing. We were already talking about being proactive and put measures in place to be preventive, to make sure that these types of things don't happen. Or in the event that they do, what are our next steps? And so when we go through and we're reviewing all of these board policies, for all of the different districts within Livingston County. We got some great policies in place. And I just want to make sure that the teachers and administrators and others in our county feel that they have the, that if they're, they have the, not only if they're right, that we should feel obligated that if we see a child that is not being treated correctly, if they're being disrespected, to me, this falls right in line with bullying. Or if we're talking about kids who have disabilities, you know, there's several kids we have out here with disabilities. How dare anybody treat them any differently because they're at a disadvantage? What I want to do is let these kids know that there are great things out here. You can become anything you want, and don't you dare let another person take your joy or steal your destiny or change your path for that amount. I mean, for that reason, because you have to believe in yourself and believe that you can do it. But as adults, we have to stand behind the kids in our community and know, let them know that we're here to support them. So whether that's us congratulating them, giving them some awards because they have been on the honor roll, or whether it's standing behind them when they were treated disrespectfully, kids need to know that they have people in the community that are here willing and able to support them.
It has to be incredibly frustrating for you that, as you said, this brings back these memories from your own self and your own experience that all these years later, have we advanced? Where are we?
What it does tell me is that we haven't advanced. There's not been much advancement. What I can see is that now we actually are having meetings where it's okay to talk about this and think about ways or processes or policies that we can put in place to educate people and make people aware, because education is the key when we're talking about racism. A lot of times people just don't understand individuals from other cultures. And it's not okay to say that you don't like somebody or treat them differently just because they don't look like you.
So I guess that circles us back to you, Nicole, in terms of you know, having this meeting, talking with the different districts. Are we looking at perhaps some sort of curriculum changes?
I think, you know, the hope is certainly that. The hope is, you know, again, a multi-tiered approach at looking at curriculum and the offerings that expose our kids to some different things. You know, is it that that they are exposed to different authors that maybe they haven't been exposed to, exposure to celebrating leaders that aren't necessarily just the ones that we all know, that we all recognize, and that talking about Martin Luther King and the movements that he made within civil rights isn't just a February discussion because that happens to be Black History Month or MLK Day in January. I think we're definitely looking at curriculum change. I think we're looking at policy change, updates, making sure that they have the things in place so when these things do go awry, that there is a known and practiced response so that it can happen expeditiously and with all people concerned in that, be it the person who's been victimized in the situation, be it the people that are victimizing her or him and or any other student, as well as how have we been approaching it as an administration. Professional development is a key piece of that. As well as offering extracurricular opportunities for students to be involved in something bigger than them. And I tell you what, this generation that we have right now has some great capacity for that kind of action. We currently have two districts with active diversity clubs or diversity equity clubs. Howell High School has a diversity club, as well as Brighton High School has started their diversity, equity, and inclusion club. Some of our charter schools have equity organizations amongst their students, and some of our other districts have really expressed an interest in empowering their students to come up with things on that note as well. And so I think that you know, there's probably kind of five columns there that we're really looking at in order to make this change. And that's when we look at changing the face of racism and oppression and heterosexism or homophobia or any of those ways that we oppress others. we have to look at that multi-tiered approach of how we address it at the individual level all the way through to our institutions and our systems.
And I just think that it's an opportune time for us to be able to say that we know the world is changing and we have to mm-hmm. hold individuals accountable and send a message to those that are not as vocal mm-hmm. or even those that want to be vocal but just don't have maybe the opportune time to be able to do so or just don't have the ability or the relationships to be able to speak up.
It seems that there's many people who basically deny that there's any racism, and I feel like what is racism is like it seems like a real simple question, and yet it's very complex because I think mm-hmm. there's a whole section of folks who you know if you're not wearing a Klan hood and burning a cross, I'm not a racist. What are you talking about? And I guess and how does that and the concept of say systemic racism, obviously a phrase that's come out quite a lot in the past year. How does that fit into this larger conversation?
The quick, easy answer is, John, that our students, you know, these issues happening at our schools points to students making racist comments. Those students came from parents. those students have family members that have and communities that have influenced them as individuals, right? And as Jennifer said earlier, you're not just born racist, right? And racism isn't just those extreme kind of situations. It's also involving just what is known in the kind of in the realm of DE&I work as microaggressions, of statements that are made that we don't recognize has a negative impact on someone. And so racism is really just utilizing your power to put down another individual, and that can be something as simple as just a not well thought out comment, right? That just comes out of our mouths, and we are all in a space of learning. And I think, I mean, that goes back to Jennifer's statement on education as well, is that those students need some education, some exposure. We as adults need education and exposure. And that's a really key thing. So the schools are just a microcosm of our community and what's happening in the larger sector. So the council has monthly online opportunities for people to come and learn about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And so those can be, you know, that information can be found on our website at livingstondiversity.org with our monthly events. The next one, I think our March session is actually full at this point with registration, talking about cultural competency in a changing world. And it is, and that's what I think makes this work so hard for everybody involved, is that it is changing. And nobody is ever going to be 100% culturally competent, say the right thing, do the right thing all the time. I will be the first to admit that there are moments where I say something and sometimes as soon as it comes out of my mouth, I go, oh, that's not what I meant. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it even takes me a day to realize that what I said yesterday was probably offensive, right? So we're all learning. And so we want to create a space, like Jennifer said, to have those conversations as well as a community system to be able to call each other out and say, hey, you know, what you just said there, mm-hmm. let me tell you what I heard. You know, I know what you said, but let me tell you what I heard. And that's a really critical part of this conversation as well. And so just as much as we're doing this within our schools, we need to do this within our households. We need to do this within our community organizations. We need to do this in our governmental and city and countywide organizations. All of us have to work to do. So we're going to be busy.
As far as the school issue, you know, the meeting on Friday, so what are next steps in that regard?
Absolutely. So first next steps is to focus on our survey, get the information from our schools. We need to create this baseline of what's already in place so that we can identify what else needs to be done. In that process is also identifying those resources that are currently available. As you said, the leader of the ACLU making statements in Office of Civil Rights, reaching out to the district. There are definitely some training opportunities, and so we want to engage in those and let folks know what what are the available opportunities in creating a space for professional development that can really focus in on those areas. Mm-hmm. The other piece is recognizing where we can impact when these things do happen. So it's kind of an up-and-coming thing in many of our schools is the conversation around restorative practice and understanding how we don't necessarily learn anything in a punitive fashion, right? So just telling somebody that they did something wrong and punishing them because of that, providing consequences, doesn't stop the action from happening again. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of conversation around the use of restorative practice, restorative circles to have opportunities to, again, have conversations about when things are said like this. Obviously, restorative practice isn't always the best response because a person might be fearful or if it's been going on for as long as maybe Tatiana's experience had been going on. Nobody's going to be in the mindset to do a restorative circle at that point. But it's certainly an option that we want to look at. And lastly, I think, engaging our youth in these conversations and this action is really key because that's who can change. We as adults, we're kind of hard to change, right? And I'm included in that, right? It's tough to change what you know. I think it's absolutely possible. I think all of us have that inherent ability to make mm-hmm. that change. But our kids are flexible. they're literally, their brains are more plastic than ours are. So they have a physical advantage over us as adults to change, to learn, to grow. And so really the focus on that in really empowering our students to take these things on, be a part of something larger than them, you know, whether it's a diversity club, equity club, gay-straight alliance at the school, however it is that they can engage with other students to have these conversations. And then I'm hoping that we can connect all of those student groups together to create one countywide collaborative of students as well. That's a little bit in the future, but I think, again, if it's something that can happen, our students can absolutely probably make that happen before us as adults can. That is, there's definitely lots and lots of plans in the place. And, it's systemic change takes a really long time to take hold and move forward. And so we also have to be patient as we move forward. The issue of racism, of homophobia, of ageism, of sexism, of all of those, ableism, all of those things, right? Oppression in general and power and prejudice, all of those have been collectively working for many, 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 many hundreds of years. And so we're not going to change it overnight, mm-hmm. but with consistent communication and with everybody who's willing to jump on board, I think we can continuously move the needle, even if it's a slow go.
I agree with Nicole 100% that it's not going to change overnight, but I'd like to encourage all the adults within our community mm-hmm. to look at themselves as an agent of change, regardless of what their title is, whether you're a parent, teacher, administrator, board member, you are where change starts. So how you handle incidents when you see them, how you let children know you're there to support them, how you educate them, that's something that we can all come together as a community, as adults, and ensure that we're all having one consistent message. And that message should be all individuals should be treated the same, regardless of race, color, age, disability.
Well, I think that's an excellent place to leave it. You know, thank you so much for this conversation. I think it's been very enlightening, and I appreciate both of your time. Jennifer Tate is the director of Livingston County Department of Health and Human Services and a board member with the Livingston Diversity Council. Nicole Matthews-Creech is director of the council. And again, the website, livingstondiversity.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
And that's it for this edition of Viewpoint. Opinions expressed on Viewpoint are not necessarily those of WHMI staff, management, or its advertisers. If you have a comment about today's show or a suggestion for a future segment, call us during normal business hours at 517-546-0860 or send an email to news at WHMI.com. Until next Sunday, I'm John King on WHMI, Livingston County Zone 93.5.